And the last one is partner with families. Parents are the number one influencers when it comes to spirituality in young people, even teens. That's pretty surprising, eh? Even the teens are most influenced by their parents. We as a church family should help parents nurture faith in their families, and not just biological parents. We have several families among us, and Letha pointed a lot of this out, that are made up of grandparents and other people that are raising children. Next, give a safe place for doubt. Doubt is not toxic to faith. Silence is. We have someone in this congregation that shared about doubt in their early adulthood. And if you'd like to talk to them about what they found and how it turned out for them, I'll put you with them. Young folks, especially teens, want conversation about their hardest questions. Not just us giving them answers, but they want to talk about it. They want to discuss it. Conversations can deepen faith. Let's go back in our memories and think about the times when maybe we have gone to Grandma's for Thanksgiving dinner. You got that picture? You getting hungry? Should I finish? I'm getting hungry thinking about it. Most of us will remember that there was never enough room at that table. So we had an adult table and a children's table, and many times the children's table was in another room. The adults ate and had great conversation, while in the next room, the meal usually devolved into some sort of a food fight with disastrous results. So maybe here we need to get rid of the kids' table and invite them to sit with us more often. It's just a thought. They need their time to themselves too. Will you be open to a divine interruption in your life and routine? Will you be open to being one of the five adults who will make a difference in these young people's lives? For our youth to be the future of the church, they need to feel that they are a vital part of the church today. And it can be as simple as remembering a kid's name, right, Letha? And asking questions. Now, this doesn't mean that right after worship we're going to break into teams of five and look for a kid to overwhelm. That's probably not the way we ought to do it. Ken Ham writes in Answers Magazine an article entitled How to Prevent Losing Another Generation. Ken says we should be teaching our young to own their faith, help them ask the tough questions in a safe environment. Next, he tells us that Christian faith is like a relay race. One generation carries the baton of responsibility to our faith, to pass it on, to pass the faith on to the next generation. Next, he explains, the church's primary job is not to reach the world, but rather train up disciples of Christ. We gather here for edification and equipping, and then, after that, to scatter into the world for evangelism. Finally, we hear information from the website answersingenesis.org. Speaking of Genesis, you will recall that Moses had an encounter with a burning bush. When God told Moses what he wanted of him, he gave the excuse he was not suitable for the task because he had a speech impediment. Paraphrased. Those of you who know me well are also aware that I stutter occasionally. When I was younger, it was much more pronounced. I'm sure that Pop Stouffer and a few other people more than one time wanted to pull my choke to get me hitting on all cylinders. Lois, do you remember? Yep. Well, Melinda has informed me that She's not going to be my errand. She will help me with a lot of other things, especially with children. She will write things for me, but she will not speak for me. Now, I attribute my not stuttering up here to the strength and guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if I start studying badly, it's time for you probably not to pay attention to me then, because maybe the Spirit left. Okay, now back to Genesis.org. They have asked the same question that we ask. Why do so many young people leave? Well, like the people we heard from before us, there is more than one answer. They see the dichotomy of teaching from the Bible, but not fully living it. If we can reinterpret Genesis or any other part of the Bible, where do we stop? Now, I think this is another part that requires particular attention. Where do we stop doubting and reinterpreting? Now, this next little part here is added by me. I think if we are tempted to doubt and reinterpret, we should first look to Matthew 18:6. Now, there's many places in Matthew that they speak of instruction and guidance and coming to Jesus, all of us as little children. But today we're talking about children. Matthew 18:6. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. It is just my humble opinion that we should be very careful in this regard. Next, they say in Genesis.org, young people are not getting solid biblical-based answers to the skeptical questions of the day. Remember, as we stated earlier, our job, according to Proverbs 22:6, this is also paraphrased, is to train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. Now, the emphasis here is on the word train. That is not telling, but rather gently guiding, bending, and shaping while teaching them to guide them on the right path. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So there you have it, a small bit of information about growing a church by attracting young people and retaining the ones that have been raised up among us. Now, this is not me attempting to be an expert, but only as a fellow searcher and seeker that has gathered up a few things to share with you. Now, I do have one opinion of my own, or one more opinion of my own, that I would like to share as we depart today. I hope that you can share it with me. That is, as we go forth this week, standing on the rock-solid foundation of our Bible, boldly and firmly point back to God's words in all the decisions that we have to make. Amen. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Pegg for allowing us all to share today, a dangerous thing that she gave the okay to. So, and now receive the benediction. Your response to the benediction is, thanks be to God. And now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, go in peace to love and serve our Lord and these wonderful children. Thanks be to God.